This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Many students think of community colleges as an affordable way to get started on a bachelor's degree. But data released by the U.S. Department of Education found only 13% of community college students earn a bachelor's degree from a traditional four-year institution within 8 years. So what are the factors that slow students down? Joining me now to discuss the story behind the numbers are University of Cincinnati Vice Provost for Enrollment Management, Jack Miner. Welcome back, Jack.
Thanks for having me.
Cincinnati State Technical and Community College Provost, Robin Hoops. Thanks for being here, Robin.
Happy to be here.
University of Texas at Austin Associate Professor in Educational Leadership and Policy, Lauren Schutte. Welcome, Lauren.
Thank you. Great to be here.
And Community College Research Center Senior Research Associate and Program Lead, John Fink. Thanks for being here, John.
Hello. Good afternoon.
UC is a financial supporter of Cincinnati Public Radio. Lauren, what is community college enrollment looking like these days? Has it become a more popular option for students?
Well, I mean, after the pandemic, community college enrollment did decline quite a bit, but it's still primarily serves as a democratizing force for access to higher education, particularly for low-income students and students of color.
Hmm. And Robin, what are some of the primary reasons students opt to attend a community college, at least in your experience at Cincinnati State?
Yeah. So there's a couple of reasons. One is the cost. So we are a fraction of the cost. Our credit hour cost is $188 per credit hour, which is a fraction of what a university would cost. And also the convenience is another key factor. We're easy to navigate both from, you know, the enrollment piece and then just in terms of being a student, we're very easy to navigate as and compared to a larger university. So if you're an adult, you're somebody with a job, somebody with the kids, that matters. Also, the quality of the programs is important. Students come to us because of our programs. So if you're somebody that wants to be a nurse or you want to be a chef or you want to be an aviation mechanic, something that's a two-year degree that leads you right into a high-paying, high-tech job, it's our programs that really matter. On the transfer side, which I know is our conversation today, on the transfer side for those students, what is also attracting them is they need to have certainty. So the convenience and the cost is important, but there needs to be certainty that if they come to us in order to be sort of savvy about costs and go on to, say, a University of Cincinnati or a Miami University, they need to have the certainty that what they're studying, their courses, their program, that when they transfer on to UC or Miami University, NKU, that they're there as a junior and that they're not backing up having to retake courses. So that's another key component if you're a transfer student, is the certainty that your courses and your program is going to take you there and you don't have to back up and lose time or money when you get to the university.
Sure. John, talk about that from a bigger picture perspective. I mean, beyond the greater Cincinnati region, across the country, how big a reason is the ability to transfer credits to a four-year institution? How big a reason is that people start at a community college?
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge appeal to, you know, save on the total cost of a bachelor's degree by starting at a community college, which are close by, small class sizes, strong colleges, strong institutions that charge a whole lot less oftentimes than universities, you know, to get those, you know, 60 credits, those first 2 years done, and then transfer those credits towards a bachelor's degree. But what we've seen nationally, and as a case in most states, is that, you know, many students want to do that, but relatively few ever transfer to the university, let alone complete a bachelor's, and that there's a lot of barriers along the way there for students, particularly around how those credits are ultimately transferring and applying to those bachelor's degrees.
Jack, are there barriers that students encounter when they're transferring from Cincinnati State to UC? Robin just said that guarantee. Students really want to know that transfer is going to happen. What do you all find at UC?
Yeah, actually, within Ohio, that's one of the things that Ohio has done a really great job of, is probably about a dozen years ago, we created something called the Ohio Transfer Guarantee. gone by different names through the years, but it's really that concept that your first 2 years at a community college and those credits that you earn are guaranteed to transfer to a four-year school, guaranteed to apply towards your degree. And that's something that in so many states is what students are getting hung up on. So they're ending up with a scenario where they've earned credits at a community college. They try to transfer that to a four-year school. The credits don't transfer. They do have to take courses over. They essentially, in many ways, start back at step one in their education, and they have 2 years worth of debt, 2 years worth of expenses that didn't really go for anything. So Ohio has really done that right. And then the novelty of being able to transfer from a two-year school to a four-year school, regardless of where you're doing that from around the state, is really phenomenal. What we've been able to do here in Cincinnati is really partner with especially Cincinnati State, Southern State, to be able to think about, beyond those guarantees of individual credits, can we also create programs where there's a pathway towards a degree so you know that you're in lockstep and the curriculum of the two universities or the two-year college and the university are matched up so you're really not losing any ground by transferring? And that's been a really successful partnership between the two schools.
Robin, that guarantee, is that for community college students when it comes to state four-year institutions? Does that apply to private institutions also? How far does that extend?
Yeah, in the state of Ohio, like Jack was saying, it is part of the law that there's that guarantee transfer for both courses and also for entire degree programs. That's to Ohio's public universities. So it's part of Ohio law. So a student coming in knows that which courses will absolutely transfer, that's guaranteed by law, but then also the entire degree program. So let's suppose I'm interested in going to UC in business, and I want a four-year degree in business administration. Then if you're doing business administration the first 2 years at Cincinnati State, that whole pathway is guaranteed by the state, and so it's called a guaranteed transfer pathway. So it's not just the courses that make up that, but the entire degree transfers. And so you're going right in as a junior at that point. So that guarantee in Ohio is really, really strong.
But that would not be the same if you wanted to transfer to Xavier University, for example.
That's correct. So for a private institution, what we do in the region is we have institutional agreements that bridge that gap. And also going across the river, so Northern Kentucky University, a lot of our students transfer there. And so that Ohio law for public institutions does not apply there. And so instead we have institutional agreements that sort of bridge that same gap. And so that we can show the student that there's certainty here because we've actually laid it out through an institutional agreement how when they transfer, they transfer as a junior.
Hmm. We're talking about community colleges as a path for a four-year degree. Did you attend a community college? Give us a call at 513-419-7100 or email talk@wvxu.org. Lauren, we were just hearing about what the deal is in Ohio and this law that guarantees that students' credits will transfer. What does the picture look like across the country? What percentage of students who plan to start at a community college to save some money and then transfer to a four-year degree, finish up a four-year degree, what percentage of students actually do that successfully?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really only about if 80% of students, that's what we tend to argue based on statistics, enter a community college and say that they want a bachelor's degree. So they're seeking to transfer, but only about a third of them actually ever transfer. Then among those who transfer, only about a third of those end up getting the bachelor's degree in hand that they were seeking. And so I do think strong state articulation policies like the one in Ohio are really helpful at trying to boost some of those numbers so that students know that the credits they're earning at their public two-year college are actually going to contribute towards that degree they're seeking at the public university.
And what are the percentages that you see from Cincinnati State students, Robin?
Yeah, so when I think about our student population, we have about 10,000 students, and the technical programs that take you right into the career, those are two-year programs, That's about 80% of our students. Okay, so when we talk about that intention, I want to get a baccalaureate degree. 80% of our students are going into, they're becoming an RN, they're becoming an aviation mechanic, they're becoming a chef. So mm-hmm. while you may ask them, would I want to get a baccalaureate degree at some point, who's going to say no to that? But they're coming in and their intention is an associate degree. About 20% of our students enroll in transfer programs. We have a specific degree pathways for transfer programs. It's about 20% of our students. And most of those do go on. It's well supported by our regional partners like UCNKU, where they're supporting those students while they're Cincinnati State students. They are supporting those students, providing them with advisement. And we are also providing them with advisement. So we do a lot of collaboration there. So the breakdown is 80-20 for us. And of that 20% where it's clear their intention is a baccalaureate degree, we say, well, where? What's your destination? And then we make sure that they're getting the advisement, that collaborative advisement, so that their pathway is seamless.
And when you say most, do you have a figure? Was it like 80% of that 20%? And now I'm getting into math, which is dangerous territory for me.
It's hard to track exactly. We know like between Cincinnati State and UC, we have clear data. If somebody's going to NKU, that it's hard to track all that data. But so if we look at our pathways program with University of Cincinnati, it's in that 80% range are going to go on and be successful at University of Cincinnati.
And then, Jack, once those students who have that intention make that transfer, if they're going from Cincinnati State to UC, clearly Ohio law spells out that the credit transfer shouldn't be a barrier, but are there other barriers that they face? I imagine the campus culture is very different going from a community college to a four-year institution. What are some of the challenges that students face when they make that switch?
Well, first I'll talk a little bit about numbers because, again, I think people in Cincinnati, especially listeners, already know kind of what our numbers are. So if you think about it, from a normal year, we have about 8,000 freshmen a year. We have about 2,000 incoming transfer students a year. So again, it's a pretty decent size number of students that are coming through. From a challenge standpoint, I would say the number one challenge that those students always face is financial. So making the adjustment from the tuition rates at a Cincinnati State to the tuition rate at University of Cincinnati is always a challenge. So we offer a number of transfer scholarships, for example, to help bridge that gap. One of the other things really is that culture piece. So if you think about a very traditional residential campus like University of Cincinnati has become, we weren't always, that we've become, you have a cohort of students that met as a freshman class, that have created networks, have created social groups, have formed their own tribes. Now you have students coming in as transfer and they don't easily have an entry point. And so we really have to work hard to create opportunities for those students to be able to integrate with the entire campus population. And we do a lot of that through our student life activities. We do a lot of that through our student organizations. And then we also try to really build that into our courses. One of the things that students have seen our courses shift the last 5 or 10 years is much more content-based courses where students are working as a group. That's obviously creating a different opportunity for learning and different opportunity for engagement, but it also starts to create networks of students that wouldn't have happened in a lecture format. So it really helps integrate those transfer students into the curriculum.
Well, we will continue our conversation in just a moment. And later in the program, we'll discuss how social media overload is changing speech patterns and maybe even young brains. This is Cincinnati Edition. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're continuing our conversation about community colleges as a path to a bachelor's degree. My guests are University of Cincinnati Vice Provost for Enrollment Management, Jack Miner, Cincinnati State Provost, Robin Hoops, University of Texas at Austin Associate Professor in Educational Leadership and Policy, Lauren Schutte, and Community College Research Center Senior Research Associate and Program Lead, John Fink. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100 or emailing talk@wvxu.org. John, you started to talk about this a little bit earlier. Jack was just talking about some of the challenges that transfer students have at UC when it comes to cost, culture, that sort of thing. What challenges do students face on a national level, you know, even beyond Ohio? What are some of the things that prevent students from making that successful transition from community college to getting a four-year degree in a reasonable amount of time?
Yeah, so I think when you sort of think about the typical experience for entering community college student, and it sounds like some really important and impressive work is happening in Cincinnati to improve on some of this historical challenge, it's just that students are coming in to community colleges, which typically are funded at lower rates to serve students that have some of the biggest needs. And, you know, there's not a lot of support to explore their options, so they're just told to sort of start taking general education courses. And oftentimes they're placed into high school level math without the right supports. And so it can often feel like, well, what's the point? I'm here because I wanted to study X, or I wanted to explore Y, and starting with this general coursework, and I'm not even really exposed or connected to the university or the professors and the fields that I'm interested in. And so I think what you see, like I'm hearing here from partnerships like Cincinnati State and UC, is just a real thinking about starting with that end in mind. You know, why are students coming here? How are we making it worth their while? And then giving them the supports and experiences along the way. Just love to hear what's happening after transfer for students at UC to get them engaged, not just in the classroom, but also in student life and the things like study abroad and research and student government that we know is such an important part of the college experience. But what's happened is that in many places historically, that's just not been the case. Transfer students have been looked over despite making up large shares of the undergraduate population at large universities and sort of been thought of less and less catered to. So I think we're seeing a time of increased investment in this important pathway as a means to really increase bachelor's attainment and attainment of graduate degrees, even to increase sort of economic opportunity.
And Lauren, it sounds like, you know, at some places transferring those credits is more difficult based on the type of university students want to attend, maybe even the kind of community college they're attending. Is that the case? I mean, is it a lot harder if you're a student at a community college and you want to transfer to some, you know, private Ivy League university or something like that?
I mean, what people don't necessarily realize is that we often think about community college transfer as a community college problem. You know, it's these students that are intending to transfer to another institution. But I tend to think of it as a public higher education problem. I mean, I focus on the pathway through public institutions and the role that universities play in the credit transfer decisions is just so huge that they really need to be part of the solutions. It sounds like in Cincinnati, that's happening. But in a lot of other transfer agreement situations or places where there aren't agreements between institutions, it really leaves the students to fend for themselves to navigate not only, you know, what is it going to look like if I transfer, but then once they transfer to figure out, wait, which of my credits or which of my classes actually counted towards the degree. Most people who are transferring are going from a community college to a public institution. In some situations, they are moving to a private university, in which case it really just depends on whether that private university has any articulation agreements or not.
Well, and then if and when it does become more difficult to transfer credits, which doesn't sound like it's a problem here in Greater Cincinnati because of the state law, because of these agreements that are in place, but when it does become more difficult, that if students have to repeat classes, that makes it even more expensive for students to complete their degrees, right, John? I mean, what kind of impact does that have on whether students do complete these four-year degrees they were after in the first place?
Absolutely. I mean, I think it has a few effects. The first is sort of psychological. Before I was a researcher, I worked with community college transfers at a big university on the East Coast after they arrived at the university. And we had a great orientation for these students. And we had like peer mentors, we had ice cream, social, all this great stuff. But they're coming in from their first meeting with the advisors where they really saw, like down to brass tacks, how those credits weren't just transferring in, but how they're going to apply to their desired degree program. And, oh, I got to retake calculus because my B in calculus at the community college wasn't accepted because I need a B in calculus at the university to get into the School of Business. So they're hearing all these things, and it really was like taking the wind out of their sails. So I think that, you know, absolutely it's a cost issue. So you're having to retake credits. That's a cost to students. It's a cost to taxpayers to sort of duplicate, you know, how many courses are being taught. But also it's a barrier to success. And for, you know, the half or more of students who aren't completing the bachelor's after they transfer, you know, they've accumulated all these credits and they don't have that bachelor's degree to show for it. It's a big barrier.
We got an email from Steve in Oakley. Steve writes, in this rapidly evolving digital world, one has to ask, is a four-year timeline needed for education even relevant in this century? Can the same be accomplished in a shorter, more compact timeline, different from the one we currently have, which is still based on an agrarian calendar? A friend who was a high school college counselor said that Cincinnati State in their program was, quote, the best bargain in town, end quote, for advanced education. And then Steve writes, P.S., in the interest of full disclosure, I'm a proud graduate of Raymond Walter College with a two-year degree and a four-year degree from UC Main Campus. I'm going to ask you about that, Jack. What do you think? I mean, people did start to take a lot of classes a lot of different ways during the pandemic, for sure.
Yeah, I absolutely think that you're seeing that shift. And I think the way that you see that shift is partially behavior. So we've obviously seen a lot of growth in our online programs. And those online programs are largely students that started a bachelor's degree when they were 18 years old, didn't finish it, and now they're coming back as an adult, and they're taking classes year round. They're really in a hurry to get that degree. Some of the things that we see is our average age of an incoming transfer student right now is about 30 years old. So it is not your 20-year-old, your 21-year-old coming directly from Cincinnati State. It's an adult that is still working, still balancing a family, and they're going back to school, and they're largely doing that online. And that tends to change the type of programs that we see. We've really tried to lean into our identity a little bit. Obviously, we have a strong background of a co-op education in trying to create completion degrees that take some of your life experience, some of your work experience into account, so we can, in addition to giving you credit for the work that you've done in college when you're 18 or 19 years old, also give you some recognition for that work that you've been doing in life, especially if you're going back into an applied degree.
Mm-hmm. We have a caller on the line. Hi, Joe. Thanks for your call. What's your question or comment?
Hi. I've been a professor of nursing for a while, and one of the things that I've closely observed is that when a student enters a two-year nursing program and you know, comes out, they are already able to earn a significant income. Now, having said that, that income is a disincentive. Because it makes it, you know, difficult, even with, you know, all the support and family and demands, you know, and so on. It makes it difficult to proceed into a bachelor's degree program. So on the flip side of that, many, many healthcare agencies now are requiring a bachelor's degree. And I know of several here in Cincinnati who give you 5 years to accomplish that and do offer tuition support. And so, you know, the question becomes, how many of those students find jobs where their associate's degree is all they need, and then how many recognize the financial incentive of getting up to a professional BSN.
Okay. Thanks, Joe. Robin, do you want to address that? Is that something you were nodding your head as Joe was talking?
Yes, I was agreeing with everything the caller was mentioning. And nursing is a great example. So the two-year degree in nursing that Cincinnati State offers, I'm going to brag on Cincinnati State for just a moment. They take the same, what's called the NCLEX, which is the state certification, the state board exam that you have to take once you complete to be a registered RN. It's the same state certification that you would take if you were in a bachelor's degree program. And this is where I'm bragging. Cincinnati State's NCLEX results year over year are at, exceeding, or very close to any of the universities in the region that are offering it through a four-year pathway. We're offering it through a two-year program. So to the caller's point, that takes you right in and you are RN and you're making good money. And so, you know, does it make sense from a financial standpoint to stay, or does it make sense to go back and be become BSN prepared? But as the caller's pointing out, a lot of the major health systems are saying, but we want BSN prepared nurses as well and offer tuition support for that. We now have a BSN at Cincinnati State. And so just the current class that just came in, looking at the number of students where their tuition for their BSN completion degree is being supported by their employer, it's over 50%.
Mm. Okay. Well, Joe, thanks so much for that call. We really appreciate your insights. Thanks so much for listening. So we talked about community college as a way for people to save money. I guess I'm wondering, how much money does it save, and then to start at a community college and then transfer? What do you have any thoughts about what an average savings is for Cincinnati State students who take that path?
Yeah, if you do the first 2 years at Cincinnati State, I mentioned before, per credit hour is $188 per credit hour, which is a fraction. But what does that really mean on a yearly basis if you're a full-time student? That's about $8,000, a little more than that. And that includes the tuition, the fees, everything. So, you know, over 2 years, that's $16,000. So if you compare that to regional, it depends upon the institution, but if you compare that to regional universities, that can be anywhere from a third to a half, depending upon the university. So they're saving for the first 2 years, they're saving at least half of the cost of what it would take to be doing this first 2 years at a university, sometimes even more than that.
Mm. Jack, I'm going to put you on the spot. What's the price tag at UC these days?
About $12,000. So one of the things that I'll talk about, though, is I have the best of both worlds. Because remember that I have the old Raymond Walters College. We have two regional campuses that are essentially about at the same price point as a community college. And so we actually see that same model. One of the shifts that we've seen this year specifically is, again, that model where students are saving about half on tuition, but the students at Blue Ash campus especially are still choosing to live in residence halls at the Uptown campus. So they're absolutely on a pathway towards transfer or transitions, what we call it internally, but it's creating that scenario where they're getting that freshman experience, they're getting that residential experience, but they're doing it at half the tuition cost. So it really is creating a new model for us. And we had about a double the number of students do that this year as would normally do that.
John, what about nationwide? Are students saving money with this approach? Is that, I guess I'm wondering if they're saving money, or are there some kind of hidden costs for some students in other places that don't have these kinds of agreements that exist here in Ohio?
Yeah, so students are definitely saving money on the transfer pathway. The big caveat is you're only really saving money if it works out for you. If you go to a college or university partner that are working very well together, because we know the majority of students who are transferring aren't completing. And so, you know, if you don't complete, this cost savings are sort of moot. Now, what I'll also say is happening nationally, as well as in Ohio, is more and more students are starting their transfer pathway in high school through high school dual enrollment. In Ohio, it's called College Credit Plus. And if we're talking about cost savings and affordable route to a bachelor's, that's probably where you're going to find your biggest value, because those courses are free. And so if you can start at Cincinnati State on your pathway to a bachelor's in high school, that's just going to be an even greater savings. And what we see nationally, and is true in Ohio, is that although transfer rates and completion rates are low generally, students on that high school dual enrollment CCP pathway are 2 and 3 times more likely to enroll at a university and complete a bachelor's degree.
Hmm. Okay. Well, I've been talking with University of Cincinnati Vice Provost for Enrollment Management, Jack Miner, Cincinnati State Provost, Robin Hoops, University of Texas at Austin Associate Professor of Educational Leadership and Policy, Lauren Schutte, and Community College Research Center Senior Research Associate and Program Lead, John Fink. Thank you all so much for your time today.
Thanks, Lucy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Up next, we'll discuss how social media overload is changing speech patterns and maybe even young brains. This is Cincinnati Edition.